Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Great show for you today. Two great hours today. Second hour, Steve Ray will be here to discuss Scripture and tradition, one of our favorite topics. If you've got questions about Scripture and tradition, things you'd like to know about what Catholics believe about that, second hour is going to be perfect for you. First hour, we're going to kind of take off the apologetics hat and put on the pastoral collar. How was that? Bad metaphors, Darren? Yeah, Darren's not thrilled with those. We'll call this hour Your Spiritual Life. We'd like to any help that we can be of to anything of a pastoral concern in your life, something to do with family, with prayer, with the sacraments, with how you're doing spiritually. How are you doing spiritually? And 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. We used to call this hour The Chaplain Is In, but we're changing it because Father Vincent Serpa is no longer our chaplain, Dominican priest and apologist here for, well, a Dominican priest for a very long time, apologist here and chaplain 17 years, and now is retired to some mysterious northern part of California. Hi, Father Vincent Serpa.
Yeah, I say it's California. I mean, but don't tell anybody. It's really Reno, but or Las Vegas. One of those places.
Oh,
I'm not sure which one it is.
You're in the Sinatra suite in Reno. Is that what it is?
Not quite.
I didn't think so.
I really am in Northern California. It's windy outside, but it's warm and very pleasant.
Yeah,
very nice.
Yeah, here in Southern California, the weather report is perfect for the rest of the year. So that's all. That's what you're missing, Father. That's all.
For the rest of the year, right. Okay.
Yeah.
but how is it now?
It's pretty warm. 888-318-7884, our number. Is there some issue in your life, some issue of a pastoral nature that you would like tackled? If you have apologetics questions about the teachings of the church, by the doctrines of the church. We'll do those next hour when we delve into Scripture and tradition with Steve Ray. This hour, just the pastoral stuff for Father Vincent Serpa, 888-318-7884. I think, Father Serpa, people will want to know how the move and everything went. So how did it all go?
It moved. My superior came down and we got a U-Haul because there was some of the stuff was going to one of our other houses. They were opening a chapel, so we were going to use what we had in our chapel in San Diego was going to move there. So I had everything boxed, and then he came down and drove back up with the stuff. But I still had my own personal stuff to finish packing, and that was really hectic. But I did that, and here I am, and most of it is not in the boxes anymore, but there's still some that is. It takes a while. It's because I'm getting rid of stuff, you know, and you have to sort. And it's not something somebody else can do for you because it's stuff that you either want or you don't want, and they don't know, you know. So, anyway.
Well, you're missed here, I can tell you that. We, almost immediately after you left, we just started sinning like crazy. I mean, it's gotten out of control.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Everything's just gone to pot while
my goodness.
Yeah. We've had priests come and celebrate Mass with us, but they're terrible, Father. Don't tell them this. No, that's not really true. We have very good priests, as you know. I just wanted to make you feel better. I don't think it would actually make you feel better to find out that the day after you left, we all just started sinning like crazy around here, though. I think you might take that as a pastoral failure, not as a sign of your value.
No, what really bugged me is if when I left, you guys were having a great time, and I'm not there.
Well, so you want us to be miserable. That's what you're saying. 17 years at Catholic Answers, and you'd like us to be miserable in your absence.
I didn't exactly say that.
No, I might have misinterpreted.
You might have, yes.
You are missed. You are genuinely missed. And I can tell you this.
I,
I was just going to tell you the phone lines are just filling up with folks with pastoral concerns. So so you've been missed by more than just us here in the office. But you were going to say something.
Okay. No, I don't remember what it was. It came and went. Pretty loopy at this point.
Oh, this should be a good hour.
I completely relaxed.
Right. It's a little weird for me because I've never actually, you know what? I don't even know if I've ever spoken to you on the phone. I was going to say we're doing this via, you know, the phone. But I don't think I've ever even spoken to you on the phone ever. This was like my first time, not just doing a radio.
Well, I know you do. Show. I know you do have a difficult time with phone calls. I've noted, but there are no buttons to push for me anyway. There are buttons to push for the other people, but not for me.
Wait,
just listen to my voice and be calm. And
all right, Father, I will be calm. I feel like there was a dig in there somewhere. There might have been a dig.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
From what?
I feel like I better go to calls because. The chaplain is mean. That's what we should call this hour. The chaplain is mean. Are you ready to go to calls?
Sure.
Okay, David in Detroit, Michigan, listening on 990 AM. David, thank you for your call. You are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to ask the question today. So the question is this. As you know, in the United States, there are a lot of challenges, and many of them spiritual. So, and we also know that Scripture shows that Jesus exhibited anger at times, like as an example, in the temple, the money changers were cheating and there are bad things going on in the temple, and he demonstrated anger, tipped tables, and threw them out, basically, saying this is, you know, supposed to be a house of God, and he turned it into a den of thieves. But we also know that in James, in the first chapter, it talks about that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We're supposed to be slow to anger, slow to wrath. But there's said to be a time, this is where the question comes in for the priest to help answer. It's a judgment question. At what time is it okay for Catholics and then in general, the Christian church, to start tipping tables and say, enough is enough. We're angry. We're, you know, like Jesus did, really, he kicked them out, right? He just demonstrated that this is going to stop.
So I think that's clear, David. Let's let Father Serpa.
It's important to recognize when he was that way and when he wasn't. You will never find in Scripture him being angry because people have sinned and are sorry for their sins. Never. Never is the people he responds to in the most positive way are the humble ones. But those who are self-righteous, those who are thinking only of themselves or their own gain and completely inconsiderate of other people or inconsiderate of God, as in the case of the turning of the tables, then he came down heavy. I mean, after all, he is God himself, and they were offending him directly and in the temple, the holy place, and completely oblivious to us. I mean, they're just... They've got their own agenda, and they're not at least bit concerned about God or anybody else. That's why he came down on them, and they needed it. It was a matter of letting them know that what they were doing was wrong, and he was going to put up with it. But that was the context of that. But it wasn't all that much later that such people were torturing him, and he didn't. He didn't complain. He didn't defend himself. He came to show us that we're all about love, and what he was against the other ones about. What he came down about was that they were not. They were against the whole matter of loving, being attentive to others. They were concerned about themselves and their own self gain, without any consideration to anybody else. It's not a matter that he was opposed to people acquiring what they need, but they weren't doing that. They were in a holy place, and they were turning it into a secular place, and he reacted. There are times, I mean, anger is a good emotion. It, as all emotions, it gets us going. It adds thrust to whatever we're doing. I refer to emotions, passions as auxiliary generators. It's as if you have a ship and you have an auxiliary generator, and it'll make the ship go faster. But it can't determine the direction the ship goes in. That requires the intellect than will. And so emotions give thrust to our actions. They don't determine the goodness or badness of them. What prompted Jesus was rectifying an evil. The anger gave his action more thrust and got their attention too. So it's the context that determines when anger is appropriate and when it isn't.
Does that help you, David?
Thank you so much for the response. I'm going to take that response and try to spin it in my own mind with the topic of abortion, with as many children that have been killed, and at what point does the anger boil over and tables start tipping on that topic. But I'm sure that's a lot more common.
But David, if I may ask, by tipping over tables, I'm not exactly sure what you mean. I know you're using that metaphorically, but you're not thinking of something violent.
No, so violence is illegal, but protesting is not.
I see.
And you know, our constitution in the country says we're allowed to publicly demonstrate as long as we follow and abide by the laws of the land, but it doesn't seem like. And a lot of that protesting is driven by anger, typically, right? People want to change. They don't think that the path is correct.
Right. That's usually what gets people out into the streets is some sense of anger. I think that's what Father was saying. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, Father, but the sense that anger can be a force that gets us moving when we should be moving. We should have some sense of protest about abortion and those kinds of things. So maybe anger pushes us in the right direction then.
Thank you so much for the response, and I hope you both have a blessed day.
Thank you, David. Father, as I said, I didn't mean to put words in your mouth, but you were saying that sometimes being angry about injustice, for example, might motivate us to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your words
were tame. They were okay.
They were? Okay. All right. Thanks, Father. I'm glad I got that review. We'll be right back with more. Your spiritual life is our topic this hour. If you have questions of a pastoral nature, we are very happy to take those. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Father Vincent Serpa addressing your questions of a pastoral, spiritual, or family nature when we come back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop Robert Barron, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
As legend goes, it was 500 years ago that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral, setting of a series of ruptures that the Church suffers to this very day. Catholic Answers Magazine is marking the anniversary with our very special issue delving deep into the Protestant Reformation. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 818-487-2011 or going to Catholic.com. The heroes of the Counter-Reformation, the deadly errors of sola fide, and everything you want to know about how the Reformation played out. Just a few of the articles you can look forward to. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 818-487-2011 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 11:25, Jesus exclaims, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him." So Jesus has chosen to reveal the Father to the likes of you and me. Not that we deserve it, but because we acknowledge our unworthiness, he reveals it to you and me. And not only that, he delights in doing so. He actually praises the Father for the fact that we are nobodies who have been given such sublime information. It remains for us to give praise as well. It is good to be lowly people who know the likes of Him. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Father Vincent Serpa, our guest this hour, and we are calling this hour Your Spiritual Life, Father, because we didn't want to say the chaplain is in anymore. Any feelings about that title that we've given this? It's like
My Spiritual Life.
No, it's not your. It's the listener's spiritual life. So this is an hour for
Who's on first? You don't remember that. That's too early
for I do. That's Abbott and Costello. Yeah, who's on first?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Your spiritual life? My spiritual life? Yeah, we'll have to work up a routine for that. We don't have a routine yet. But that's so I'm taking it we do not yet have your approval for that name.
Oh, whatever you want. I mean, that's okay.
Well, that was adequately tepid. We'll go now to Stephen.
I'm going to get back at you.
We have a call, Father. Stephen in Denver, Colorado, listening on 1090 AM. Stephen, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. Your question, please.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can, yes.
Hey, I've had a barrier between me and the Lord about some bitterness over the years. My brother was murdered some years back, and I've been thinking about this because he didn't die in the greatest circumstances. It was at a party, and I'm like wondering about his soul. So I'm wondering, you know, how the murderer might get punished in this life and the next life. What about the victim? Doesn't he deserve some type of compensation? Because in any other court case, if you harm somebody but don't kill them, or if you damage their property, they're entitled to compensation.
So you want justice for your brother in the afterlife?
I would think you'd get some type of compensation. Doesn't that make sense? For even in physics, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. It just seems it doesn't make sense to just punish the murderer and give nothing to the victim.
Father?
Well, start with the Lord, first of all. I mean, we always start with Him, not with ourselves. Start with Him, because He came first. He should come first. When we consider what He endured on Good Friday, there was no compensation there in terms of anybody getting back at Him or Him getting back at people because they put Him to death. It was just the opposite. The Lord isn't into getting back. He did that because He loved us, and He loved us that much. So He's not waiting to pounce on us or to do us harm, but He does ask that we love Him. And so we're judged on how much we love Him, regardless of what the circumstances are. He knows better than we the circumstances, and far more just than we are. He's far more just and merciful as well. So we don't pass judgment on God because we reduce Him to, you know, our experiences. He's beyond our ability to fully fathom, and His love is as well. And so if anyone is in hell, it's because they've chosen to go there, and not because God has made that choice. It's they who made the choice. If regardless of your brother's spiritual condition, if at the time of his death he was truly sorry for his sins and wanted to love the Lord, he'll be forgiven. Boom, done. So I would certainly pray for the repose of his soul, because he may be in purgatory. We don't know what his situation is. But we do know that no one loves him more than the Lord does, and no one is more merciful than the Lord. That needs to be what colors our attitude toward life, really, toward other people. And nothing can bring us more peace than that. But it comes from recognizing his act of love, how much he loves us, and how unjust it was on a purely human level. But that didn't matter to him, because we mattered more. So know that no one has loved your brother as much as he has. And if there is any opportunity for him to get to heaven, he'll be there. Okay?
Okay. Are you still there?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here. Mm-hmm.
I love the answer. I'm just wondering if you maybe misunderstood me. I don't think I'm asking for revenge. I'm asking for, does he get credit because he has no longer the ability to merit for himself or anyone else?
The Lord, if he's due any credit, you can be sure the Lord will give it to him. The Lord's not going to shortchange anybody.
Okay, so there's no credit in itself in the act of murder. There's nothing there in the act.
That you, I'm not quite sure I understand what you're asking in saying that.
If you do harm, you're punished. And what I'm asking is if you receive harm, you should get compensated. In other words, credit. There should be some merit in there for being a victim.
Well, that's an area that I don't know how this all works. All I know is that the Lord is merciful and that his, with him, justice and mercy are one. I think that seeing this in a purely human terms is the way we operate, isn't much of a help because he is so much more generous than we are. And, as I say, if your brother was entitled to any credit, you can be sure he's got it.
Stephen, thank you very much for that call. We do have to move on. I hope that was helpful, and I hope you will call again. And I do want to assure you, we will keep you and your brother in our prayers. As Father said, the Lord is not outdone in mercy and love. There's no one that could have been more merciful or more loving for your brother. So you need have no fear for him on that account. We go now to Lynn in New Orleans, Louisiana, listening on 690 AM. Lynn, if I just want to, before you ask your question, I would ask you because I'm seeing a note here, if it's a question about a particular diocese or archdiocese, if you would just leave the name of the diocese or archdiocese out, we'd be happy to address your question.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. I just wanted to know, your opinion and Father's opinion of having a gay and lesbian ministry around, and also in working with schools, there's more same-sex couples sending their children to Catholic schools, and they want to be identified as partners rather than, you know, father and mother. And we see the damage that has happened to the children who were adopted into these arrangements. But yet we can't say anything because, you know, it might offend or hurt somebody. I have trouble trying to rationalize and justify that we just keep our mouths closed and then we have a ministry catering to people who live these lifestyles. Do you have any words of wisdom?
Well, many years ago when I was in San Francisco, we had a ministry in the parish. It was a celibacy support group for people with same-sex attraction. They were all men at the time that they belonged to the group. And they would come and spend an hour before the Blessed Sacrament each week, and then they'd have a meeting in the priory, wherever I lived, afterwards. And the whole point of it was giving them the courage to live a life that is faithful to the teachings of our Lord and with regard to sexuality. It wasn't an easy thing, but and that's why we had the support group to help them to maintain such a lifestyle, and they did. And that is what we need in the church today, not going the other direction, because you know, it just gets very confusing when people are trying so hard to not hurt anybody's feelings. They end up doing some real harm, because first of all, what they're teaching is contrary to what our Lord expects of us, and he's the one who designed the whole thing, not us. It's for us to submit to him and put him first and what he wants first. The world doesn't understand this because the world isn't concerned with him at all. But that's what we believe. And so it's important for you to speak the truth, even if it's not well received in the church.
Lynn, thank you very much for that call. We have to go take a quick break, so we will be right back with more of Your Spiritual Life with Father Vincent Serpa on Catholic Answers Live. I thought that sounded good. Your Spiritual Life. Yeah, I dig it.
Encounter with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice.
The Holy Spirit is about a new and exciting work in the church of today. On Encounter, we bring young adults the life-changing testimonies of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission, bringing heaven down to earth. Activate the power of God in your spiritual life on Encounter.
Encounter with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice. Debut Saturday, July 29th, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm here to tell you about a new resource so good it deserves a place in the library of every Catholic who is serious about his or her faith. Did you ever read something in the Bible that made you just scratch your head? Have you ever been challenged to defend a seemingly scandalous verse of Scripture? You're not alone. The Bible contains more than a few hard sayings, apparent contradictions, myth-like events and figures, and passages that seem to be embarrassingly out of step with modern culture or science. How can you, as a Catholic, reconcile such things with your own faith and with what the Church teaches about the inspiration and inerrancy of sacred Scripture? Don't worry. As my good friend and brother in the faith, Trent Horn, explains in his new book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties, God's revelation in the Bible is not something Catholics need to be ashamed of. In Hard Sayings, the first book of its kind, Trent examines dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture and offers clear, reasonable, and Catholic explanations to unlock their true meaning. He also provides basic principles for reading and interpreting Scripture that the wisdom of the Church has developed over the centuries. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Your Spiritual Life with Father Vincent Serpa. This hour, we're taking pastoral questions, questions about your spiritual life, your relationship with God, your relationship with those in your life, family problems, family questions. We're happy to take all of those. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Before we go back to phones, I want to remind you that you can get a free MP3 right now from Trent Horn and Patrick Madrid when you sign up for the Catholic Answers Live newsletter. Here's how you do it. You just text the word Madrid, M-A-D-R-I-D, to 44222 on your cell phone. Follow the directions and you get a free copy of the MP3, The Communion of Saints and Purgatory with Trent Horn and Patrick Madrid. That's all it takes. And then you also get our newsletter, which we're so happy to send you. Father Vincent Serpa, our guest, Father Vincent Serpa, long the chaplain here at Catholic Answers, recently retired. And everything is just going to weed around here spiritually since he is gone. It's a very sad place now, but I'm sure we'll come out of it, Father. Our spiritual doldrums since you left. No comment from you.
Well, it's appropriate, you know. There's a time for everything.
we've gone through a difficult. There's a time for everything. All right. We're still behaving ourselves. As far as I know, we're still behaving ourselves here, Father.
I doubt it, but we'll go. Let's just move on.
Well, I'd like you to live with that illusion. Kate in Seaside, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. You are on with Father Vincent Serpa. Your question, please.
Yes. Hi. Father Serpa. My question is rather a question about healing. I worked 23 years in a Catholic school that was associated with the church, a parish, and I was very involved with the Catholic formation. I was in charge of, setting up for masses and such for the school. And I got to know the priest quite well, especially the pastor. And a year and some months ago, things started to go downhill with several things, but mainly what it boiled down to be was some untruths were being spoken about me, and also I spoke up about some issues which were safety issues amongst the children, in that we had not enough staff
cover
them safely.
Just so I'm clear on something, so you said that you were let go from this job of 23 years?
Well, yes and no. When I was called to meet with the lawyer and my principal, I knew that's what was going to happen. And because I've been there so long, I know that's the steps they take.
And Kate, I don't want to rush you too much, but could you share your question for Father Serpa?
Question for you is, or seeking advice, is that since all of this has happened, it's very difficult for me to go to Mass. I've been diagnosed with PTSD, clinical depression, and anxiety disorder, where I have severe panic attacks. And I have a fear of meeting anyone that is associated with the school in any way in Mass. Also, I'm very angry with the pastor and the principal that I knew also for 23 years, that they would allow these things to happen.
And you would like Father's advice on how to deal with these feelings of fear of going to Mass and of seeing these folks?
Yes.
Father?
Are there any other parishes in your town?
Kate?
Are there any other Catholic parishes in your town?
Oh, yeah. I have access to about four parishes within, but...
Okay, well, if this particular one is causing you to be anxious and worried about meeting people and so on that are involved in your past, go to another parish. It seems to me that would be you'd still be praying and you'd be before the Lord, but you wouldn't have to worry about meeting these people.
Well, I have gone to different parishes, and inevitably, I still have been running into families and people associated with the church.
We're certainly not as many as you would in your own parish, though.
Right. But sometimes I can handle it by scooting up right away. And then there's other times when I'll go do that and I'll still have a panic attack. But I'm concerned with my sinfulness for not going to Mass.
Well, think of it as an illness, because it is. And if you're ill and you can't go to Mass a particular day, it's not a sin. Go when you can. And the Lord understands. Mental illnesses are illnesses, you know. And the worst thing with panic attacks is that you start worrying about them, and then that causes panic. It becomes an unending cycle. When you can, go, and when you can't, the Lord understands. Pray and don't go that day, because you're not up to it. Does that sound okay?
Yes, it's a great relief that you said that. I thought not going for any reason was.
No, this is a reason. The fact is that you have panic attacks is a reason. You know, it's not something you willed. It's something that you have no control over. And so, when you can, you do it. When you can't, you ask the Lord's mercy and pray for better health.
Okay, Kate?
Okay.
Okay, that sounds really good. And
we'll be praying for you too.
Kate, thank you very, very much for that call. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest this hour, in an hour that we call Your Spiritual Life. And that Father is only mildly happy with that title. We used to call it The Chaplain Is In, but he's not the chaplain anymore, so we can't call it that. But you can call him, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Father, are you coming down for the conference in September? Will we see you there or no?
Nope. I'm not planning on it. It's hot down there at that time of year.
Oh, no, beautiful.
That's not why I'm not going.
Yeah, right. I just wanted to remind folks that the conference is September 28th through 30th here in San Diego. And I was going to make it so enticing by saying Father Serpa will be there. And then you're like, no, I'm not coming. It's so hard to talk with Father Serpa sometimes.
If people like warm weather, and people would only go if they like warm weather anyway, you know? I just don't.
You like the fog. You would like to have the fog horns blowing under the fog.
I'm not a sun person, you know? I've been 17 years in Sun City, you know? No, not Sun City, but Southern California.
Right.
And it's a beautiful place, and I really did enjoy those things, though, I must say. I did. But no, I'm not going to travel down there. I'm still getting settled up here.
Yeah. Well, that means there's one more spot opened up at the Catholic Answers Conference. Just go to Catholic.
Well, no, I don't think that I was expected to be there by Catholic Answers.
Will you just let me try to invite people to the conference? Wait, you got to nitpick me on this stuff. CatholicAnswersConference.com is where you go. Catholic Answers. Conference.com. 888-318-7884. The number, the chaplain. Oh, I almost said the chaplain is in. Your spiritual life is what we're dealing with this hour. If you have a spiritual, relationship, pastoral questions, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will get to more folks on the line right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about a very special promotion we look forward to every year, our annual store-wide summer sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. This online event includes savings of 10 to 50% and more in some cases on every book, track, CD, DVD, ebook, and MP3 we carry, including my new book, Why We're Catholic. With lower prices and a great selection, it's by far the best online Catholic sale of the summer. So log on now and all this month to the shop at shop.catholic.com. and take advantage of our very special prices. These materials will build up your faith because they're from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers.
Time is running out to help Catholic Answers' annual summer campaign. It's a crucial time because we need to offset the drop in donations that occurs every summer. We're making progress toward our goal, but we still need you to help. Souls are on the line, and your help lets us reach millions of people every year. Catholic Answers publishes books, booklets, CDs, and digital content, bringing you the best in Catholic apologetics and evangelization. Our flagship publication, Catholic Answers Magazine, is the leading journal of Catholic apologetics. Catholic Answers speakers reach tens of thousands of people every year. Every single month, more than 1 million people visit Catholic Answers' website, Catholic.com. We also encourage people across the country and around the world through online social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other online platforms. We maintain a staff of full-time apologists to answer questions by phone and email from people who need personalized help. Catholic Answers Live features prominent leaders in the church and answers listeners' questions on every aspect of church life. It's available to you by radio, online, and now it's seen on EWTN television. If you care about your Catholic faith and want to see it grow, please help Catholic Answers continue this vital work. To hear how you can help Catholic Answers, visit Catholic.com and click the 2017 Summer Campaign banner. That's the 2017 Summer Campaign banner at Catholic.com.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Yes, it is Catholic Answers Live, and your spiritual life is the topic. If you have questions of a spiritual or pastoral nature, we're happy to take those. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest this hour. 888-318-7884 is our number. Next hour, Steve Ray will be here to discuss scripture and tradition. And Father, we have some calls we got to get to, so how about we do that?
Okay.
All right, sure. We go to Shirley in Amherst, New York, listening on the Immaculate Heart Radio app. Shirley, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi, Father. I just wanted to say, you know, I want to know how I can minister to gay people. I know quite a few gay people, and I want to help them, but just telling them to be celibate doesn't come across, and they run away from that message. So I was trying to find a better way to approach them.
Well, I think the best thing you can do is pray for them and be kind to them, let them know what you know where you are, of course. But they'll probably know that if they know you very well. It's got to come by grace. You know, the Lord is the one who really does it. We don't. We cooperate with Him, and we remain faithful to Him by the way we live. But going around and trying to convince people of what they don't want to be convinced of isn't the way it happens. It happens in the Lord's good time, and usually it takes a while, and He does it in surprising ways. If they come to you and ask you something, then it's a different matter. But if they're just on their own to be going around and suggesting things, it just doesn't work. That's not how people operate. When you consider how anybody ever changes his mind, it's usually not because somebody just came up and said, you know, you're wrong and this is right and you should do it. Boom. You know, it just doesn't work that way. But praying for them, first of all, is going to affect the way you are yourself, you know. And the more we center on the Lord, the more loving we become in the way we treat others around us. And they will notice that. They'll notice that, you know, that you're a kind person and that they like having you in their lives. That and your prayers can do more good than any convincing argument would, unless they're open to the argument to begin with. You know what I mean?
Okay. One friend I was able to get through to by taking him to some dinners at a monastery every Saturday night, and he saw the brothers, and then he wanted to be celibate.
Oh, well, that's good. That's something, you know. But again, if you want to invite them and something like that, that's fine. But it's really the Lord's grace that did it, you know.
Right.
But you have to be friends with them to begin with in order for any of that to happen, because they deserve your friendship anyway. God loves them. We have to love them. You know, not that we have to. We ought to, you know. Okay?
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley, very, very much. Again, your spiritual life. Any question you've got of a spiritual nature, we're happy to take this hour. Father Vincent Serpa taking your calls. 888-31-TRUTH. We go now to Monica in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Monica, thanks for calling. Your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Hello. Thank you for your apostolate. I wanted to ask, I'm seeking spiritual direction, and I found a spiritual director. And so next time he wanted to talk about my prayer life, but actually it hasn't been in existence too much, aside from prayers for meals, a short prayer before bedtime, and of course I attend Mass regularly. I previously had a weekly adoration, but since I moved, I haven't done that again yet. So I want to do that again, but I kind of understand, like, obviously that does not really constitute, doing it weekly doesn't really constitute an entire prayer life. So I guess just ideas on how to jumpstart a prayer life. Ideas or options? suggestion?
Well, I don't think of having a prayer life. I think of having a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I want to talk to him regularly. It's his person that I'm concerned with. It's not a thing. It's a him. And if you really want to love him, you will. You will spend more time with him. You'll think about him. You'll talk to him during the day. That's what happens. And looking at a crucifix every day and reflecting on how much he loves us, nothing will spur us to a life that is closer to him than that, because it's when we realize how loving he is and how much he cares about us and that he's God, that's enough to blow our minds when we really let it in. And it will affect us in ways we can't predict, but it will affect us. That's what it comes from. It's not a matter of what we do. It's a matter of what he has done and becoming aware of it, becoming aware of how much he cares about each one of us and how willing he was to suffer for us. That's what makes the difference.
Okay? Yes, I really appreciate you expressing it as more of a relationship rather than a prayer life. Because when you put it in those terms, I feel like I do have a stronger relationship than I realize with the Lord.
Good.
So thank you for that. Thank you.
Other than that.
Very good. Thank you very much, Monica, for that call. 888-318-7884, the number if you would like to speak with Father Vincent Serpa about any issues in your spiritual life. Father, is that among the most common questions you get as a chaplain? Is I don't know what to do as far as praying, or am I doing it right?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, I don't think in terms of how many questions of each kind I get, but... that certainly is one that comes up a lot. How can I? Well, often the time is a lot of what I get is how can I stop sinning, or you know, why can't I? That kind of thing. But of course, I deal with a lot of people who have compulsions, and so I get that a lot. But that doesn't mean that the other things don't happen, that aren't asked as well. How do I pray? You know, how can God love me when I'm such a sinner? That kind of thing sometimes. But again, as I say, there's just so many of them, you know, and as I told you, I'd be pretty loopy at this point. So my memory has never been good, but it's really not good right now. As I rest, I'm sure, some of it will come back. I hope.
Well, just as long as you remember that you promised to come to the conference this year. Just a few minutes ago, you said, I'm definitely coming.
You know, it's really funny things I do remember. And I do remember that you said something that was quite the opposite. And, a sigh doesn't always tell the truth, and he likes snacks. That's what comes very, very clear to me right now.
I'm actually shocked that you would say that I don't always tell the truth, Father. I don't know what to say to that. 888-318-7884, the number 888-31-TRUTH. If you have a question of a spiritual nature for Father, we just ask that you hold on the apologetics questions. And because we reserve this hour each week, or sometimes it's every other week, to make sure that we do some addressing of questions of a spiritual nature. We go now to Sonia in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Oh, we can't. I got the wrong. Sorry, Father, I read the wrong thing. I beg your pardon. I can't go to Sonia. Okay. I'm sorry, Sonia. I can't go there. Father, let me ask you this, because I think it's one of the most common things that the most common questions that we get. And I'm going to we have quite a few phone lines full, but I none of them are quite ready for me to go to yet. They're not ripe. So I tried to, and I got in trouble. So let me ask you this, because I know that in my position, I hear it very, very often when I give a talk or something like that. That's all well and good, but my children, As much as I taught them the faith, they're not practicing their faith. Do you have words of wisdom about that?
Well, you teach by example, and a lot of it goes in, and they are influenced by other people. But sooner or later, if you're praying for them, certainly God will have mercy on them. But it's God doesn't doesn't consult us about how he's going to do things. And he does them in the perfect way, even though they boggle our minds. You know, we don't understand why he goes in the direction he goes. But every once in a while, he really surprises us by doing something that we think is just great, and we had no idea he had this in mind. So, again, the attention has to be on him, not just on our situation. When we start just looking at our situations, worrying about, controlling our young people, it doesn't work that way. You know, if anywhere one could control them, it's God. But he won't do that because he gives us the freedom to make mistakes so that as a result of the mistakes, we end up being better than we would have if we hadn't made them. So when that sort of thing is in play, then life is real, a real mystery. And so we just keep things in perspective by putting him first and recognizing that we shouldn't be surprised by being surprised, because he knows the whole thing. You know, it's so funny because we think that because we forget about him, that he forgets about us. It doesn't work that way. He's aware of us, more aware of us than we ever are of ourselves and our situations. We don't inform him of anything when we pray. When we pray, we put him first. You know, we recognize who he is, and that affects us. That affects us more than anything else. So to go through life being afraid and wanting to control isn't what he created us for. What he created us for is to trust him because we love him. That's what we have to do on a regular basis. And we can never do too much of that. And we all need to do it. We all need to do it all our lives long, as long as we can. Are you still there?
I am indeed. Why? Because I didn't interrupt you? Is that why you said, are you still there?
You got awfully quiet for a change. No.
Oh, for a change. Okay, I see, Father. Usually I'm not. A question from online, Father, for someone listening on Facebook, having trouble understanding the sacrifice of the Mass. What does it mean that the Mass is a sacrifice, and how is the person supposed to participate in this sacrifice?
Well, you participate in the sacrifice because it happens on the altar, you know. When we see the body and blood of Christ on the altar separate, means that he died. The Mass is the great sign. The Eucharist is a great sign of his death and resurrection. And what happened on Calvary transcends all time. It affects everyone who's ever lived or will live. So it transcends time. And so, but it also remains in time as the Eucharist. So we're able to celebrate something that took place many, many years ago, and it's real, right? You know, we're there in a sense, even though we're in church and we're not in Israel. We're here in we're not in the Holy Land. We're wherever we're living. That reality is brought into our lives in this concrete way, which is what the sacraments do, and that's what the Mass is. We come together and enter into what happened on Good Friday and on the Holy Thursday night. And I hear the music.
Yeah, you do indeed. Thanks, Father. And you were pretty with it for having just moved and all that. So I don't know about. I think you're pretty sharp still. I just wanted you to know that. Can
Okay.
Does that make you feel better about things?
Well, I'll think about that. You want me to give a blessing?
Yes, please.
Right? Okay. May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Now, that one went to the East Coast. That went all the way to the East Coast.
Nice job. good for you. And we do miss you, Father. We miss you around here. And thanks for calling in to be on the show. I know you will. I know you will. Next hour, Steve Ray will be here in just a few minutes, actually, to talk about Scripture and Tradition. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.